NPR.
Stacey Vanek Smith! It's Jacob Goldstein! It's co-host of Planet Money, author of Money, The True Story of a Made-Up Thing, a new book.
You're really promoting it.
Stacey, I brought props for us to do the indicator. Okay, come down.
I'm gonna come down. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi, Stacey.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's been months.
It's been a lot of months. It's been like 8 months.
I think that guy's been honking the whole 8 months.
He has actually. I can vouch for that.
I have props. I came over so I could give you these props.
Okay.
Go ahead and look at them.
All right, okay. So this is like a really high quality Xerox of an old piece of money. Oh my gosh, it's a $3 bill.
$3 bill.
That's really cool.
Is it even a real thing?
There's like a lady standing next to, in like a ball gown, standing next to a cow.
Cow, I chose a cow to kind of pander to you.
I do love a cow.
Keep going.
Okay. The Orange Bank. It's orange.
Yeah, because it's from the Orange Bank.
And this is a $1 bill.
So, Stacey, these are reproductions of real paper money that was printed by private banks in the United States in the 1840s and 50s. This is one of the most interesting periods I found in the history of money when I was working on my book. It's this moment when the United States government did not print money. There was, in fact, no single national paper currency. But if you wanted to, you know, open up Stacey's Bank of New York and print your own paper money, you could.
I don't know if I would trust that dollar from that bank.
It was a real problem. That was a real problem. We'll get to that. I mean, there were just so many different kinds of money. At one point, the Chicago Tribune counted 8,370 different kinds of paper money in America.
This sounds very confusing for everyone involved. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Jacob Goldstein. Can we make 8,370 the indicator?
Yes.
Today on the show, how can you even have that many kinds of money? And also, just what does it tell us about how money works? Let's just go like a block away to get away from the horn, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Fundrise. Fundrise makes it easy for anyone to invest in high-quality real estate by building you a portfolio with their more than $1 billion in assets. Get started at fundrise.com/indicator to have your first 90 days of advisory fees waived. This message comes from NPR sponsor Microsoft Teams. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a virtual room, collaborate live on the same page, and see up to 49 people on screen. Learn more at Microsoft.com/teams.
So, okay, we should set the scene here, Jacob. This is the 19th century America. Lots of cows, apparently. Also, this was the era when gold and silver were money. And Jacob, you say in the book that the government minted gold and silver coins, but it did not make paper money at that time.
Exactly right. So the only paper money in America was printed by all of these different private banks. People called paper money, in fact, bank notes, right? So they thought of it as like a piece of paper from a bank. And they thought of paper money in particular as like a receipt or a coat check ticket, as a thing that you could substitute for gold and silver. And in fact, if you look at the bills I gave you, they all have this kind of cursive writing. Like here, just grab a different one for fun so we can say what it looks like.
Okay, this is the Stonington Bank, a $2 bill. There's a whale.
Yeah, like, right? It's like Moby Dick or something.
It's a whale bill. We have a cow bill and a whale bill.
So now look at the cursive writing. See the cursive there just below where it says Stonington Bank?
Yeah, we'll pay $2 to the bearer on demand.
Right. And if you look, all these different bills, they're different colors. They have different pictures on them. But they all say that. We'll pay however many dollars to the bearer on demand. And so
it's like an IOU.
It's an IOU because the interesting thing is it's telling you the paper money is not the real money, right? They're saying we will give you $2 in gold and silver for this paper money, right? So the real money in this world is the underlying gold or silver. The paper is just like the stand-in.
So this is a time in history when there's not a federal bank, there's not a national bank. There's just like thousands of little local banks. And I guess all these banks can issue their own money.
That's right. And it's kind of evolving in this period. Like at the beginning of this era, the 1830s, If you wanted to open a bank, typically you had to go to your state legislature and get special approval. Basically, they had to pass a special law that would let you open your bank. And this was problematic because it was super corrupt, essentially, right?
Okay.
If you can open a bank and print money, then you're going to bribe whoever you have to bribe in, say, Albany, all due respect, to get them to let you open your bank, right? So around 1840, a little earlier, this new idea became popular. The new idea was called free banking. And the idea of free banking was anybody who was willing to follow a few basic rules could open their own bank.
And start printing money.
And literally start printing money. And, you know, not surprisingly, a lot of people wanted to print money.
This is how we get 8,000 different kinds of money.
Yes.
How do you know if the bill that someone's handing you is real money or if it's literally just a piece of paper from the First Bank of Stacey Vanek Smith?
Which might be real money.
you wouldn't know. Maybe I bribed a senator.
So I love this part. So there arose, in response to this problem, these special periodicals, kind of like magazines, that were privately published called banknote reporters. And what they were was these lists in tiny font of every kind of money. So I actually have a reproduction here, another prop from a page. This one was called Thompson's Banknote Reporter. Okay, so the people who would subscribe to this are merchants, people who need to accept money. So let's just say I'm running a bar and I got my Thompson's Banknote Reporter.
And I come in and I need a drink.
You're thirsty.
I'm thirsty.
So the page of the Banknote Reporter I printed out is for the Orange Bank.
Okay.
Okay, so you have that bill, right?
Got it. Here it is.
And it's a $1 bill, right?
It's a $1 bill.
So I find the Orange Bank here in my Banknote Reporter and it says, okay, Orange Bank, and then it lists the different bills. It says ones, and then under ones, it describes what the bill is supposed to look like.
Okay.
It says two horses.
Check.
Hay cart.
Check.
Blacksmith shop.
Check.
Male portrait.
Check.
Girl.
Check.
So it's at least plausibly real. And this Banknote Reporter also tells me something else that's important, and that explains a lot about how money works at this time. Typically, it would tell me whether I should accept that paper money at full face value.
I can buy my dollar whiskey with this.
Right, whether you can get your dollar whiskey. Because remember, what we care about is whether I can turn in that paper money for gold or silver. And so if the bank is shaky, or even if it's just really far away, the reporter might say, just knock 5 cents off the dollar. Give Stacy 95 cents worth of whiskey instead of a dollar.
That took a really long time to buy that whiskey.
Yeah, it does seem like it would have been absurdly inconvenient.
Complicated.
Right? And for a long time, when people looked back at this period, the basic story of free banking was just, that was a horrible idea, right? Like,
right.
Who wants that many kinds of money?
Right.
But much later, like in the 1970s, this generation of economic historians started going back and looking more closely at the banks and how money worked in this period. And what they saw when they really went through the numbers was basically, like, it wasn't that bad. Banks didn't go bust that often. People didn't usually lose much money when they used weird notes. You know, overall, they would lose like a few percent, you know, which is kind of like what you pay today, say, when you take money out of the weird off-brand ATM at the corner store.
Oh, right? Yes, which I always do.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically like, you know, the bartender's giving you 90 cents for your dollar when you do that, right?
So obviously we do not have 8,000 different kinds of money now. This ended, and it ended after the Civil War.
Yeah, it was the Civil War. So during the Civil War, that old American argument of can we have national banks or not came up again, and Congress passed a few important banking laws. One of them basically taxed all those thousands of kind of state bank notes out of existence, and then the other one created these new national banks that printed much more reliable, much more uniform paper money.
It's interesting because, I mean, this was obviously after the Civil War was the time when the United States went from like a collection of states to one country. And it seems like the same thing happened with currency, maybe not a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, there is this idea, at least in the kind of modern world, that money is part of what makes a country a country. And I think you do see that happening at this moment in the United States, when we go from thousands of kinds of money toward one uniform kind of paper money.
I'm just sad we lost the cowbills. Because, you know, Jacob, I have a fever.
And the cure?
More cowbills. Jacob, this story and like a whole bunch of other like really cool stories like this are in your new book.
Money, the true story of a made-up thing.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Nick Fountain, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator's edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.